Hare Krishna. We're reading from Adi Leela, chapter 17, text 312. There's a long series of texts, 309 to 336, but the purport is only on this one text, 312, so we've picked up this text. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Translation. We can see in the scripture Srimad Bhagavatam the conduct of its author, Sri Vyasadeva. After speaking the narration, he repeats it again and again. Purport. At the end of Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 12th canto, the 12th chapter, has 52 verses in which Sri Krishna Dvaipayana Vyas, Veda Vyas, recapitulates Srimad Bhagavatam's entire subject matter. Sri Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami wants to follow in the footsteps of Sri Vyasadeva by recapitulating the 17 chapters of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita's Adi Leela. Jai. Om Adnanti Randasya Snananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namahum Vishnupadaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we've come to the end of the Adi Leela, the first of the three cantos of Chaitanya Charitamrita. And so far we've seen the childhood pastimes of the Lord, the youth pastimes of the Lord, up until he takes sannyas. After having described Chaitanya Charitamrita first section, Adi Leela, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, following the footsteps of Srila Vyasadeva, wishes to repeat in synopsis what he's already described in the 17 chapters. So he's following Vyasadeva's method of repeating what he has described. As he says here, Dekhi Granthe Bhagavate. As I have seen in Srimad Bhagavatam, Vyasero Achar, as Vyasadeva has done. Similarly, Katha Kohi Anubado. Anubado means repetition. Yeah, somebody said translation. Who said translation? Yeah, very good. So translation is also known as anuvad. Why is it called anuvad? Because you are repeating, but in a different language. Right? So anuvad also means translation. But here anuvad, the Sanskrit word anuvad, literally means uktasya punaha kathanam iti anuvadaha. Uktasya, whatever has been spoken, punaha kathanam, is being spoken again. Iti anuvadaha. That is anuvad. So here Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami is saying, I will repeat everything that I have already spoken. So my question is, why repeat? Why should he repeat everything that he has already spoken? Why do we repeat something? Yes, Mataji. Yeah, very good. Because it's relishable. To reinforce the message. If it's very important, then we repeat it, yes. Huh? To assimilate. Very good. All correct answer, yes, Mataji. To memorize, yeah. So what process amongst the nine processes of devotional service is this repetition? Kirtana, correct, and Smaranam, Somebody said Shravanam, Govind Prabhu. Why is it Shravanam? Yes. So, the Acharyas have categorized the repetition of scriptures in the category of Shravanam. Why is it Shravanam? You see, in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 17, verse 5, Krishna says there are four things that define the austerity of speech. When we speak something, the austerity of speech is four things. Anyone knows? Yes. So the four things are anudvega karam vakyam. Speak such words that does not instigate others. I think most of us will fail on this one. Satyam. Speak truth and nothing but the truth. We will struggle with this also. Priyahitam chayat. Speak what is beneficial, hitam, but priya. Priya meaning the person should feel happy about it. Don't call a blind person blind straight away, you know. Priyahitam chayat. But the last one is swadhyaya abhyasanam. Abhyasanam, repetition. Swadhyaya, study of Vedic literature. Chaiva vangmayam tapa uchyate. This is the austerity of speech. Studying Vedic literature repeatedly, as he is saying, anuvada, is the austerity of speech, not austerity of the eyes. Austerity of speech. What does this tell us? That scriptures in the olden times were always read aloud. The vidhi of reading scriptures is they should be read aloud. Loud enough for one to hear, not to disturb somebody. Yeah? I had a roommate. He would read Bhagavad Gita in the morning every day at 3:30 in the morning, chapter 15. And he would be loud enough to wake up everyone in the hostel. It ended up everyone hating the Bhagavad Gita. So we should not disturb others. Udveka karam vakyam he was doing. Although he was chanting Bhagavad Gita. So one has to be careful. But the importance is that one should read loudly. When one reads loudly, obviously one hears. And hence, this process of repetition falls under the category of Shravanam. And why repeat? Why should one repeat this process again and again? What is the benefit of repeating something? In fact, we repeat so many things, right? We repeat prayers every morning. Chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra. We remember Mahamantra. Oh, you'll repeat once, twice, 10 times, 100 times, then you'll remember the Mahamantra. You're still repeating. Huh? Joy, for the joy purifies the heart. Yeah. But sometimes, you know, when the mind is not relishing something, then the mind is telling you, oh, I'm tired of repeating this. And that is why when we chant for a long period of time, once I took up a vow, I will chant today, Ekadashi, I'll chant 108 rounds. After the 53rd, 54th round, I was chanting, but I was imagining something else. My mind was somewhere, my chanting was somewhere else. Why? Because we don't have the taste. So if you don't have the taste, you experience fatigue. You do anything which you don't have taste for, you'll be experiencing fatigue, mental fatigue. And hence, you know, in the olden days in the Gurukul, when the child was enrolled in the Gurukul, the child was 8 years old. In Vedic system, no school until age 8. Homeschooling. From age 8, you go to school. And then the teacher is repeating something, then the senior student repeats, and then the newcomer repeats. And then they have to keep repeating in front of each other. They have to do that for 4 hours continuous. And usually this new boy, 8-year-old, he will feel fatigued, tired. So they used to have wooden poles hanging from the ceiling with ropes. And in these wooden poles, there used to be some kind of a hook. And, sorry, there's no child abuse. Huh? Don't imagine too much. But from the hook, this boy Shikha, who is supposed to read, the newcomer, his Shikha was long enough, because he was 8 years old, never cut his Shikha. It will be tied with that hook. So when he's falling asleep, his Shikha will be pulled. And he is awake again. Come on. So sometimes you need help. So repetition is not always relishable, but it must be done. Why it must be done? Because repeating this katha of the Lord has the effect of medicine. When a doctor prescribes you medicine, if you are not well, they say, please take this medicine. We take the medicine and we say, oh, I've taken the medicine, now over. No, it's a course. You have to do it for a certain period of time. In fact, sometimes you have to keep taking the medicine. We have our Madan Mohan Prabhu. I was going to India. So he said, Prabhu, you're going to India. There is a lot of malaria going on there. So I'll give you one anti-malarial pill. Fortunately, it was homeopathic. So it wasn't bitter. But he said, you have to take it before you get there. 3 weeks before. You have to take it all the way through your trip of 20 days. And then when you come back, you have to take it for a week. So similarly, the acharyas explain, when a person is in samsara, he is affected by, like this malaria is going on. The moment you stop taking the pill, you'll get the malaria. You'll get the disease of samsara. So the disease of samsara is countered by the aushadhi. Samsara is known as bhava. Bhava because many acharyas have given many explanations. One explanation is bhava means to be. So bhava means in samsara everyone wants to be. Nobody wants to leave. We all want to be here forever, for good. So it is known as bhava. So this is bhava aushadhi. What is katha? Bhava aushadhi. Like medicine needs to be taken repetitively for it to be effective. Especially if you are in a malaria prone area, you will take the pills every day. Similarly, we are in the bhava. We have to take the bhava aushadhi continuously. The moment we stop taking the bhava aushadhi, what will happen? Bhava will be part of us. We'll be part of bhava. So, but if we take the medicine, then we will be free of all the thirst and hunger of bhava, of this material world. As a beautiful verse in 10th canto. So after discussing the 9 cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam, Shukadeva Goswami, he wants to stop. So if you read the 9th canto, the last few verses of the 9th canto, especially the last 2 verses of 9th canto, is summary of Krishna's pastime, in which he essentially says Krishna appeared. He appeared in Kamsa's palace, but he moved to Vrindavan. Over there he grew up. He finally went to assist the Pandavas, and then he ruled in Dwarka and he went back. Krishna katha finished. This is the last 2 verses of 9th canto. And then acharyas have commented, Shukadeva Goswami told Parikshit, Parikshit, already 5 days are over. You have 7 days left. I have seen you not sleep, not eat, not even drink a sip of water. So now I've talked to you about all these different leelas of the Lord, 9 cantos, and I've also told you about the pastimes of Krishna. Now over. Now you can drink water, you can rest. In reply, Parikshit Maharaj tells Shukdev Goswami this beautiful verse. He says, Nivritta Tarshair Upaki Yamanad. Nivritta Tarshair. Tarshair means drink, desire to drink. Nivritta. Actually, this word Nivritta is very interesting. It, especially in some regional languages in India, Nivritta means retired, one who has no job left to do. So you are either pravritta or nivritta. Pravritta means you are running around like a rat in the rat race. Nivritta means nothing to do, retired. Or nivritta means completely stopped. Nivritta tarshair. Trish dhatu means to drink. Parikshit Maharaj says, I have no desire to drink anything of this material world, including the water. Can you imagine the same king? He got this curse because he was thirsty. After hearing Shukdev Goswami's katha of the Lord, what is he saying? Nivritta tarshai. Now no thirst. Even though he was thirsty physically, no thirst. Nivritta tarshai. This is the effect of what? Nivritta tarsai upagiya manad. By hearing this katha repeatedly, katha of the Lord, bhava aushadhat, bhava aushadhi. This is the medicine for this material world. And by taking this medicine repeatedly, bhava aushadhat, Chotram manobhirama. Chotra, shotra means ears. Manaha, mind. Abhiramat, my mind and my ears have become blissful by hearing this katha repeatedly. And I have lost all desires to drink anything of this material world, to enjoy anything of this material world. And then he says, like a rhetorical question, he says, ka uttama shloka guna anuvadat. Guna anuvadat. Can you see that word? Katha kohi anubada kore barabar. He's saying the same thing, Parikshit Maharaj. Ka uttama shloka guna anuvadat. Who is that fool who will not take resort to this repetitive hearing of katha? Why? Because this is bhav aushadhat, because this is the medicine of material, to against material energy of the Lord, samsara. But there is one category of person who will not take this katha. Who is that? Yes. Puman virajyeta vina pashugnat. Puman amongst all categories of people, except Vina, except Pashugnat, one who is the killer of animal. Pashu means animal. Pashu means what, you know? Sanskrit definition is Pashyati iti Pashu. Anyone who sees, hears and feels and experiences is a Pashu. That's why the word Pashu has come. So, except for the killer of Pashu, who will not take this? So Jiva Goswami has given a wonderful explanation. He has given a different explanation. He is saying, who will take katha? Who will be relishing uttama shloka guna anuvadat? Guna anuvada. Anuvada, repetitive hearing. Who will care to have a repetitive hearing of katha? It will be 3 kinds of people, Jiva Goswami says, and the 4th kind will not. So what are the different kinds of people in this world? Either there are people who want to enjoy material world, or there are people who want liberation, or there are those who are liberated already. Or there are those who are sinful and not interested in anything but committing sin. Four categories. Of these four categories, Jiva Goswami says, Nivrityadi Visheshana Trayena Mukta Mumukshu Vishayi Jananam Grahanam. Three categories. Nivritta Tarshai means those who have no taste for material energy of the Lord, enjoying the material energy of the Lord. Which category is that? The category of the liberated. Mukta. They will take katha repeatedly. Next is Upagiya Manad. Those who glorify moksha and aim for it. So that is those who are mumukshu. Those who want moksha, second category, they will also accept the repeated katha of the Lord. Third is Chotra Manobhirama. Jiva Goswami says this is Vishayi. One who wants to enjoy mind and senses. He will also take katha because by hearing the katha of the Lord, you know, Bhagavatam says Akama Sarvakamo Va Moksha Kama Udaradhi. Whether you have no desire, full of desire, or desire for liberation, you should take shelter of Sri Hari. So these three categories, they will listen. But the category that will not listen is Pashugna. And Jiva Goswami gives a wonderful verse. He says, one day Narad Muni was going around the three worlds. He was just, you know, on his travels, routine travels through the three worlds. And he went to the earth planet and he went to Kashi. Kashi is Varanasi. Over there he met four different people. He first met a prince. And he said, Rajaputra Chiranjeeva. O prince, may you live long. He gave him blessings. And then he met a son of a sage who was meditating on Vishnu. When he met that person and the person said, please give me your blessings, Devarshi. Narad Muni said, Majiva Muniputraka, may you die. To the prince he gave the blessing, may you live. To the Muniputraka he said, may you die. Immediately, may you die. Then he went further and he saw one Vaishnava sadhu taking dip in the Ganges, and having come out seeing Narad Muni, he fell at Narad Muni's feet and said, please give me your blessing. Narad Muni says, Jeevava Marava Sadho, may you live or die, whatever. Doesn't matter. Either live or die. And then, as Narad Muni was walking away from the banks of the Ganges, he met a butcher. The butcher is known as Vyadha. And the Vyadha paid obeisances to Narad Muni and said, please give me your blessings. The Vyadha says, Vyadho ma jiva ma mara. Narad Muni says, Vyadha ma jiva ma mara. Don't live and don't die. So what is the meaning? Srila Prabhupada explains. Anyone knows this? Yes. Please, Prabhuji, tell us. Yes. 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 So Prabhuji was saying, don't live, don't die. If you live, you continue doing sin. Your life is as hell. And if you die, you will suffer in hell. So there is suffering now and suffering later. For a Vaishnava, he said, you may live or you may die. Because while living also, he is serving Hari. By dying also, he will serve Hari. So no difference. For the prince, he said, may you live long. Because you want to enjoy this world. This is the only time you can enjoy. Once you die, there is only suffering for you. So live as long as you can. After living, there is suffering. And for the Muniputraka, one who was meditating on Lord Vishnu. He said, at this moment you are meditating, but you don't know, you might fall under the trap of Maya and stop meditating. So may you die now while you are meditating on Vishnu. So this is how Jiva Goswami says this verse applies to three categories of people, that Anuvada, Gunanuvada, three categories of people, those who want material enjoyment, those who want liberation, and those who are already liberated. These three categories of people will have this Anuvada. So we understand those who are materialist and those who want liberation. But what about those who are liberated? Why do they? Oh, even before that, Pashugnath, Jiva Goswami gives three definitions of Pashugna. This is very interesting. Pashugna means killer of animal, generally speaking, yeah? Now, Jiva Goswami gives three meanings. First meaning he gives is Pashugna Vyadaha. Parama Mudhatvat Samarthyam Nasti Eva. Pashugna means the killer of animal, means he who is foolish, who does not know his own good. Such a person is Pashugna. This is the first definition of the person who has got no interest in Katha. He is simply foolish. So, you know, our ancient, if you read the books of Nyaya, logic, 1200 years ago, they used to give this example. There was a foolish butcher who once goes to one Tirtha and he sees that under a tree is a beautiful Shaligram Shila. And people are queuing up to worship the Shaligram Shila. And after worshipping Shaligram Shila, they are paying obeisances and leaving. So one of the persons who's about to leave, this butcher, he asks, well, what are you all doing? Why are you all worshipping this Shaligram, this stone? So he said, oh, if you make any offering to this Shaligramji, he will fulfill your desire, whatever your desire is. He's so powerful. Whatever you desire to become a king, you'll become a king. So the Shaligram is very powerful, but you have to make him some offering. So hearing this, this butcher also thinks, yes, yes, I should also make an offering. So everyone leaves, and the butcher is alone with the Shaligram under the tree. And he thinks, what can I offer? So he sees in the nearby forest, there are mango trees with nice mangoes. And he has seen people offer flowers and fruits. So he thinks, oh, let me offer that mango. But the tree is too big and the mango is too high. How do I get the mangoes? So he says, oh, I have a plan. He picks up the Shaligram and he throws it to get the mango. So, this is called as Mudha. This is a Pashugna. He does not know the purpose. So this ancient Nyaya logicians, you know, in their books, old books, they give this example. This, Jiva Goswami says, is Parama Mudhatvat, is the greatest fool. So he will not have interest in Katha. Because he's foolish. He doesn't know what his real benefit is. Second is, Jiva Goswami says, Tato rasa grahana abhavad. Tataha rasa grahana abhava. Abhava means no interest in the taste. They have no taste for. And Jiva Goswami explains, just like a hunter is killing the animals because he cannot see that or taste the beauty of the animal. How beautiful these animals are. How wonderful this creation is. He cannot appreciate them. And because of lack of appreciation of these animals, he kills them. Similarly, Pashugna also means because of lack of appreciation of Bhagavatam, they don't accept Srimad Bhagavatam. They don't accept the Katha of the Lord. There are so many Vedic Pandits, but they will not accept the Katha of the Lord. And it is true, if you don't have rasa, It's another topic, how to develop that taste. But if you don't have taste, it's difficult. When I went to Mayapur for the first time, one of my brahmachari friends there, he told me, have you tasted this particular fruit? And I said, not really, I've heard of it, I've not tasted it. And then he said, oh, this is my favorite fruit. I'll bring you a fruit and then we both can relish. And he brought the fruit, big fruit. You can guess which fruit is there in Mayapur, big, yeah? Jackfruit, big fruit. He sliced it, opened it and he started relishing it. And I started my first bite. I had no taste for jackfruit. And anyone who has tasted jackfruit will know that if you don't have a taste for it, you cannot relish it. Some of you here might say, well, it's the most relishable fruit. But for me, I have no taste for it. Similarly, when one has no taste for katha, he will not hear the katha. Jiva Goswami says, first, if you are completely foolish, like this person who took shaligram to get a fruit to offer to shaligram. Or if you have no taste. But the third, very interesting, Jiva Goswami says, Daitya svabhavasya yasya ninda matratat paryam is also pashugna. Daitya svabhavasya, because of his nature being so negative about everything and everyone around him or her, they simply do ninda matra tatparyam. They simply criticize everything and everyone. I had one person in my the place I used to live in Bombay. He was a very rich man. And we had a, you know, in India you have, near the building you have the chowkidar. Chowkidar means he is the guard who guards the building. So this guard was there at the door, the doorkeeper or the guard of the building. And he would stand there. And he had changed and a new guard had come. And this man, he is so critical minded, big man, but very critical about everything. So when he passed on the day one of this guard's duty, the guard stood up and he said, sir. And this rich man, he said, how dare you stand up in front of me? Don't you know who I am? How could you even stand in front of me? He was criticizing. The next day the guard thought, "Arey, if I stand up, he's got so much problem." So next day the same man went down. The guard remained sitting. The man said, "Huh? How dare you remain seated? Don't you know who I am? No respect. You're not showing respect." So some people criticize whether you do it or don't do. They all criticize. They also criticize Ramachandra that he has accepted Sita back. So the critics in this world will not stop. Chanakya Pandit gives a nice formula. He says, just like when an elephant moves, so many dogs will bark. When I was young, in Bombay also, there were so many elephants they used to bring. And we used to enjoy from our windows, we used to see the elephant. The Mahout would sometimes tell the children to come and we would climb the elephant's trunk and the head and go on the back of the elephant. So it was fun. We used to give them coins or fruits. The elephant would grab it from the first or the second floor. He could take the fruit. So it was lots of fun. But how would we know the elephant was there? The street dogs would start barking. There would be like a gang of them barking. So Chanakya Pandit says that a Vaishnava should be like this in mind. They should be so detached and focused in their own path, like an elephant moving on a street, ignoring the dogs who bark, because the dogs will continue barking. So Chanakya Pandit in his Niti Shastra, he has given this advice. Chanakya Niti Shatakam, 100 verses of Niti, he says this, one of the verses. So these four categories are there, of which the last category is three types, I told you. Four categories: liberated, will accept the anuvad of the Lord. Those who are seeking liberation will accept anuvad of the Lord. Those who seek material pleasure will accept the anuvad, means katha, repetition of katha of the Lord. But those who are either critical of others or grossly foolish, or what is the third one? Killer of the self is no rasa. So three things. Killer of the self is three, Jiva Goswami says. One who has no taste, no rasa. One who is critical of others always, and one who is grossly foolish. They will not accept the katha of the Lord. And when the katha of the Lord goes on, their mind will be either elsewhere, they will fall asleep, they will think of what else to do. This means we have to work on our... Because imagine we are asleep in katha and suddenly our neighbor kind of nudges us and says, hey, today is prasadam sponsored by such and such, and today we are going to have gulab jamun, rasgulla, and your eyes open up slowly. Wow, pizza. So you see why you are suddenly becoming active from being inactive? Because katha has no rasa, but the prasadam has the rasa. So we are not katha priya, prasada priya, which is also good. Ultimately, prasad will also lead one to relishing katha, but it will take long time. One has to work. But tell me, why somebody like Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami wants to repeat? Why he wants to repeat the katha? He is liberated. We could understand why somebody seeking liberation wants to hear katha. Like taking medicine, I gave example. Bhava aushadat. You take medicine again and again. If you are in a malaria prone area, you will take malaria medicine again and again and again. But one who is already liberated, one who is not in a malaria prone area, why is that person taking the medicine again and again? That is a very strange thing, huh? Is there food? I'll tell you, Mataji, Chintamani Mataji, I'll give you one example. I've seen this, but it's medicine they're taking. See, Bhava Aushadhi is Bhava Aushadhi. Bhagavatam says it's Aushadhi, it's a medicine. Why are you taking medicine? You have no reason. You're still taking medicine. You've fallen in love with medicine. It happens. My grandmother, she is 100 years old. She's still there with us. 100 years old. And every now and then, she'll tell my father, can you give me that arnica? Have you heard of arnica? It's a homeopathic medicine. Huh? She says, my father says, are you have any pains or anything? Why you want arnica? No, no, it's just so sweet. Give me some. You know, so homeopathic medicine is sweet and also addictive. It has some proportion of alcohol also, huh? Homeopathic medicine. So addictive also. So sweet and addictive. Something that is sweet and addictive, even if you don't have pains and aches, you will take. Like homeopathic medicine. I've seen. So for the liberated person, what is the proof? The proof is this. Kardama Muni, when Lord Vishnu appeared in front of him, in the third canto, chapter 21, verse 17, he gives this most beautiful verse. An amazing commentary by Sridhar Swami on that verse. The verse is this. Lokamscha lokanugatan pashumscha hitva shritaste charanatapatram. One who is liberated, he only takes shelter of your lotus feet. Actually, the words are very beautiful. Charana atapatram. Atapatra means umbrella. You know, when it rains, we take an umbrella to cover ourselves. So in this samsara, the rain of samsara, here the verse says, the liberator takes up, opens his umbrella of the shelter of your feet. That is his umbrella. The literal meaning, charana, your lotus feet, atapatram, the umbrella, He is under the umbrella of your lotus feet. And he gives up lokams, all the people, and pashu, all the living entities. He does not take anyone's shelter. He only takes shelter of the umbrella of your lotus feet. And then he meets under the umbrella who? Other people who have similar aspirations. So devotees. One liberated person meets another liberated person who is also under the shelter of the same umbrella of the lotus feet of the Lord. And then when you meet people, you do something, right? What do? You chit-chat, you speak. So what do they speak? Now listen carefully. Paraspadam, parasparam, tvad gunavada sidhu. Parasparam, with each other, tvad gunavada sidhu. They discuss your pastimes, which are like sidhu. What is sidhu? You know, madira. Sidhu means intoxicant, beer or wine or I don't know, all varieties. The most addictive variety, whatever that is. Sidhu means madira or wine. The katha of the Lord is compared to wine. This is the only verse in Bhagavatam where katha is compared to wine. Why? Intoxicating, addictive. Sridhar Swami gives his commentary. He says, Tvad gunanam vadaha katha tadeva sidhu madira samsara vismarakatvat. This katha of the Lord is compared to madira or wine because it makes you forget this material world. You know, somebody who has taken too much drink, he forgets the material world completely. This katha of the Lord is also like that. You take too much of it, you'll forget the world. This is there in Bhagavatam. Sridhar Swami's commentary is so sweet. He says, Madira samsara vismarakatvat, because it will make you forget samsara. This katha of the Lord is like intoxication. But after you take intoxication, you come crashing down. Next day morning, you have the hangover. So, very next word which is used in this verse is Piyusha Niryapita Deha Dharma. This katha of the Lord is an intoxicant, but it is also Piyusha. Piyusha, Jiva Goswami, Sridhar Swami says, Piyusham Ruchikaratvat. Piyusha means that which enhances your taste more and more. You will never stop. Piyusha means Amrita. Nectar, which you can continue drinking more and more non-stop. So it's very unique. It's intoxicating, which will make you forget samsara, material world, but it will also increase your taste for it, just like this arnica to some degree. So we cannot experience this fully in the material world, except for the katha of the Lord. Suppose you like, I like gulab jamuns, for example, very much. So somebody says, Prabhu, I'm inviting you for prasadam. I'm going to make gulab jamuns. Even if I'm reluctant, I will say, no, this is a good idea. Krishna has given you good intelligence. Now I will come. And then I go there. They feed me one gulab jamun, second, third, fourth. You might wonder how many I can eat. Fifth, sixth, tenth. Also depends on the size. But said normal ones, small ones, 10, easy. 12, may do. 15, struggle. 20, I'll be flat. Then even if I love gulab jamun, my love of gulab jamun will be gone completely, right? In this material world, you like to do whatever which you are happy doing, you can only do to a certain degree. But Sridhar Swami says this katha is piyusha, ruchi karatvat. It will increase your taste more and more. You want to eat more and more. You want to drink more and more this katha. That is why Bhagavatam begins with saying what? Rasamalayam. This is the drink that you have to drink. How many times you will drink? Again and again. Muhur muhur. Again and again you drink this. And why? How can you drink something again and again? How can you eat gulab jamun again and again after 10, 15, 12? You have to stop somewhere. This katha, you will go on. So for the liberated person, this katha has the effect of intoxication and nectar combined. Without a hangover. Because it's a piyusha. And hence, and this katha is of four kinds, Jiva Goswami says. First is name, katha of the name, katha of the guna, nama. Actually, it goes like this, nama, rupa, guna, and then finally, leela. In fact, Jiva Goswami in Bhakti Sandarbha, he says that for a sadhaka, one who is a aspirant devotee, who is aspiring, he should focus on naam first. Prathamam naam naha shravanam. Why he should focus on naam first? Because by doing naam shravanam properly, antakarana shuddhi artham apeksham, his mind, intelligence, ego, and consciousness, four things. These four are antahkarana. They are inner instruments. People cannot see. That's why they are known as antah, inner, karana, instruments. They cannot see it, but they can know it. Even you cannot see, but you can know. So these four, mind, intelligence, ego, and consciousness, will be purified by taking the name of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The name of the Lord will purify your antakarana. That will make you eligible to meditate on the rupa of the Lord, the beautiful form of the Lord. Once one is eligible to meditate on the beautiful form of the Lord, one can relish the guna, the qualities of the Lord. And only then ultimately can one understand the leela and relish the leela of the Lord fully. And the leela of the Lord is three types. One is leela, which is ordinary leela. How can Lord's leela be ordinary? Jiva Goswami says these are leelas of creation, for example. In Bhagavatam there is everything about creation and so many details about different demigods, vyutpattihi. All this is ordinary. Sometimes our minds and intelligence get hooked up into this. It is also wonderful because it's also part of the leela of the Lord. But then there are superior, Jiva Goswami says, leela, which are leela of the avataras. And equally superior are the leelas of the devotees of the Lord, like Amrish Maharaj, Prithu Maharaj. So these are the three categories of leelas. And these leelas can only be understood after one has obtained the eligibility of understanding the qualities of the Lord. Because you cannot understand what one is doing without knowing that person's qualities. A mother may be slapping a child, but unless you know that the relation between these two is mother and child, and hence the quality, out of the quality of love she is slapping him, you will misunderstand. So quality needs to be known before the action needs to be. Only then the action can be understood. Leela can only be understood when guna is known. But guna can only be known when you know the people, form of the Lord. You see, when you make a relationship, first you only know the name of the person. So, nama is number one. Once you know the name of the person, you then find, go and seek out the person. And then you identify the person. Oh, he looks like this, she looks like this. The form. Then you know about that person's qualities. And only then you enter into the relationship with that person. Similarly, Jiva Goswami says, this is the method. But you know, when we come into Krishna consciousness, sometimes our focus changes from nama, we forget nama completely. And we go and give no emphasis to nama. Nama is just one of those things that we have to do, tick in the box. We relish Leela so much. Although we don't understand the real gunas of the Lord. Neither do we have any attraction for the form of the Lord. But we seem to relish real Leelas. Jiva Goswami says, this is the cause of downfall. I remember one nice joke. One old couple was, they went to a party. And in the party they were, the old man, he's about 90 years old. He's addressing his wife. Darling, can you please pass this fork? And the wife is passing the fork. Then he says, dear, can you please do this for me? My love, when are we going? What time are we leaving from here? So all these kind of address. Huh? And all the young people, they are really wondering, wow, at this age also you are so romantic in your expression. What is the secret? So the man says, oh, the secret is 30 years ago, I forgot her name. So it's not that he has any of these real love or whatever. He does not remember the name of that lady, so he calls her like by these names. Similarly, you know, we may say, oh my Lord, you are so beautiful. We never take the name of the Lord. Or we take the name of the Lord, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Oh, now next goal. I have been to one devotee's house. He invited me for dinner. A long time ago. He said, Prabhu, we'll first watch the match. And I have a few rounds to finish. Then we'll have prasad. I said, how does that work? So I just sat there. And he was chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare. Goal, yeah, get it, Arsenal. And I was saying, And then he said, after dinner we can discuss Bhagavatam. I said, Hare Krishna, I escaped. Hope he's not listening. But, you know, we forgot the name. This old man, he forgot the name of his wife. But he's saying, my dear, we should not make our situation like this. We should, Jiva Goswami says, do the sadhana first. Finally, I will end by a beautiful prayer, which is related to this katha. But even before that, actually if you see Anuvada, Krishnadas Goswami, Chaitanya Charitamrit Adi Leela has 17 chapters. And he has said in these verses, between 306 and 336, he says that the first 12 chapters are preface, glorifying the Nama, Rupa and Guna of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Panchatattvas basically. And then the last 5 chapters of the 17 are glorifying the Leela of the Lord. So the same sequence. The Anuvad. This is the structure of the first Adi Leela. In brief, 12 chapters are preface, Prabhupada says, and the 5 are glorifying the Leelas of the Lord. So finally, I would like to end by saying this beautiful prayer. Does anyone know what Prithu Maharaj asked Lord Vishnu when Lord Vishnu appeared in front of Prithu Maharaj and said, please pray, what would you like? I can give you whatever you want. Prithu Maharaj says, I just want one thing. And what is that one thing he asked for? It's in Canto 4, chapter 20, verse 24. Beautiful verse. Please chant after me. Nakamaye Nath Tadapyaham Kvachin Nakamaye Natha, O Natha, O Lord, Nakamaye, I don't desire anything. Tadapi aham kvachit, whatsoever, I don't desire. Nayatrayushmat, charanambujasavaha. Nayatrayushmat, I don't desire anything where your charana ambujasavaha. Charana ambuja means charana lotus, ambuja means, charana means feet, ambuja means lotus. Asavaha, asavaha means the distilled wine. Asava literally means liquor. Or the, you know, the liquor of your lotus feet, the intoxicating material of your lotus feet. I don't want anything or any blessing which will cause this intoxication of your lotus feet, the katha of your of yours, which comes out mahattamantar hridayan mukhachyuto. This intoxicating katha of the Lord, which comes out from the mahatta, the great devotees, antar hridaya, from their heart, straight from their heart. So what is the, where is the, this wine being brewed? The wine that comes out, asavaha, the wine or the intoxication that comes out in form of the katha, where is it brewed? Where is it being, what's the brewery? The brewery is the heart of the great soul. Mahatta antaridayam, the inner heart of the great soul. From there this wine, mukh, and how does it come out? Mukhachyutaha, from the mouth of this devotee, this katha comes out. That is the source of this wine. It's brewed in the heart. It comes out from the mouth of this great devotee. I don't want any blessing that makes me bereft of this katha of the Lord. And so what is the blessing I want? Vidhatsvakarnayutam. Vidhatsvakarnayutam. Esha me varaha. Esha me varaha. This is my blessing. This is the boon I want. What is the boon? Vidhatsva. May you give me karana, years, ayutam, millions. May you give me millions of years so that I can hear this repetitive katha of the Lord, this anuvada, katha kohi anuvada kore barabar. Let me hear this repetitive katha of the Lord with millions of years. That is my only and only prayer, Prithu Maharaj says. So it's a beautiful prayer. We should always keep this prayer in mind. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Samaveda Bhaktivrinda ki jai. Gaur Premanandi Hari.